Okay, now we've reached section 45 in our Revelation Bible study outline on page 43 of your workbook. The outline can also be found on www.firmfoundationri.com. Okay, just by way of recap, now that we have come to the place where Christ is going to be making his second coming on a white horse, let's go back to section 15 and just briefly recap our Bible prophecy timeline. There is the general apostasy of the church, which leads up to the days of the rapture, which is the first installment of Christ's coming for his saints. Then the seven-year tribulation begins, not with the rapture, but with the signing of the covenant between Israel and Antichrist. Then we embark on the seven-year tribulation, and in the first half of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, Antichrist arrives on the scene. Ecclesiastical Babylon, or spiritual Babylon, is established. The two witnesses begin their ministry. The seven seal judgments take place. There is a revival in tribulation times led by Jewish evangelists. And the seven trumpet judgments take place. Then we come to the mid-tribulation. This is halfway through that seven-year tribulation period. And at that time, the two witnesses in ecclesiastical Babylon are removed from the earth. Both of them are killed off, if you will, by the Antichrist in his system. And then the Antichrist himself is killed. He's risen and he's indwelt by the dragon, who is Satan. The unholy trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet establishes authority on the earth. And Israel is persecuted and flees to Bozrah in Edom for divine protection. Then we come to the Great Tribulation events. We have the seven bowl judgments, and this is a time of the worst earthly conditions in all of human history. And finally, Antichrist's kingdom falls. Then we come to Armageddon, the final battle of the tribulation, and just as that comes, just before that, we have the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to be leading and fighting that battle. So let's go to Revelation chapter 19 in verse 11. Revelation chapter 19 in verse 11, which reads, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." So Jesus is riding on a white horse. It's ridden by he who is faithful and true, and faithful and true are two of the attributes of the risen Lord, King, and God Jesus Christ described in Revelation chapter 1. This Jesus is the bringer of true peace, in contrast with the counterfeit peace brought by the deceiver in Revelation chapter 6 in verse 2. "And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." So the first seal judgment is God's allowance of the Antichrist to go onto the scene. And first he comes as the man of peace, but of course he is a counterfeit, he is a great deceiver. He who is the Prince of Peace and the King of Salem, that is peace, is Jesus Christ himself. He's the only one who's going to bring true peace on this earth. And he's the only one who can bring true peace into a human heart. Now we read that he judges and he makes war. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11. And we looked at this in the context of the seven spirits which Jesus Christ has. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." So here's the first Advent prophecy of our Lord. This is with regard to the genealogy of Jesus, which goes through Jesse, who's the father of David. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So these are the seven spirits which belong to Jesus. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor the sight by the hearing of his ears. In other words, the Lord is not going to judge based on external appearances, but he's going to judge based on internal appearances. For the Lord does not look as men sees, but the Lord looks at the heart. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. So here it kind of reminds us of the Beatitudes, where we're dealing with the poor in spirit and the meek in spirit. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. So all of this in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, is now going to be fulfilled at the second coming. Verse 1, Isaiah 11, 1, was fulfilled at the first coming. Isaiah 11, 2 through 4, is being fulfilled at the second coming, and it's being fulfilled right now in Revelation chapter, right now as we read it, I mean, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. The next cross-reference we have with regard to the judgment of our Lord Jesus is found in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 in verse 22, which reads, "So the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." So the judgment is going to be his. And again, in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10 in verse 42, Acts 10, 42, we read, "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead." So this is not only the physically living and dead, but also the spiritually living and dead. The Lord is going to judge based upon whether or not somebody has come to God through faith in him. And those who have experienced the second birth, these are spiritually alive, are going to be entering into his kingdom eternally. And those who have not are spiritually dead, and they will go to perdition with Satan and Antichrist and all of these folks into the lake of fire, which we're going to be talking about in a pretty short time here in Revelation chapter 19, but especially in verse 20, we're going to be dealing with a special study on the reality of the eternal hell and its horrors of eternal hell fire. Something that not a lot of people want to talk about, but it's all over the scriptures. Now, in Revelation chapter 19, in verse 11, we have a further cross-reference that in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 7, we read, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him." So this is also a reference to the coming of Christ. So when John sees heaven open and the white horse and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war, this is going to be a visible event. He's going to come down with clouds, and he's going to descend upon the earth. And also at his second coming, there's going to be some signs that are going to take place. And Jesus talked about these signs in Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 through 31. "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Forever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So There's going to be all of these plagues, including those of the sun being darkened and the moon being darkened and the wormwood coming down from heaven, the stars coming down from heaven, the powers of heaven being shaken, angelic warfare. And then the Son of Man comes on the clouds, and there's going to be a trumpet and a regathering subsequent to that. At this point, he makes war with his enemies, and we contrast that with the idea that Jesus Christ is faithful and true. He's the bringer of peace, but for those who are his enemies, he's not going to be coming for peace, but he's going to come to execute the wrath of the Lord. Revelation chapter 19 in verse 12 reads, "His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself." So his eyes are like a flame of fire. And in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 14, we read this, that his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. And this is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ in his glorified state. He has a name written that no one knew except himself. And lots of people have tried to figure out what that name is, right? If somebody knew somebody's name in antiquity, usually that would mean that they had some intimate knowledge of him. But also, the implication there is that there was some authority over the individual. Well, nobody has authority over the Lord Jesus Christ, except arguably the Father, to whom Christ voluntarily subserviates himself, even though they are one and they are equal from the moment time began, both being eternal God. But this name that no one knew except himself, no one knew except himself. So guess what? We don't know it either. End of story. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 reads, "He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." So some say that this robe that was dipped in blood was the blood of Christ. But in the context here, we're not dealing with his first advent work, but rather his second advent work. So we don't believe that this is the blood of Christ, but rather within the context of the passage, as we're going to see with regard to Armageddon, the context favors the blood of his enemies. So his robe is dipped in the blood of his enemies. And Jesus is called the Word. He's called the Living Word by the same author of the book of Revelation, who wrote the Gospel according to John, the Apostle John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 14, Revelation 19:14 reads, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." So we've got armies, plural, in heaven. Some of these armies are angelic armies. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, we read this. These are Jesus' words, Matthew 16:27. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his work." So the believers are looking forward to this, this coming, of course. But the main point here is that the angelic armies will be coming down with the Lord. But the Lord is also going to be coming with his saints, as Jude tells us. There's only one chapter in that little epistle of Jude. Jude 14 and 15. "Now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of the saints." So first he came with the saints. Now he's coming back with those raptured saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Jesus had come for his saints in the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And now he comes with his saints. First he came for his saints, now with his saints. And they followed him. Though they be armies, they're not in the front lines fighting, but Christ will fight for them.